Good morning. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship, another Sunday service here online, coming to you live from the northeast of Scotland. I'm looking out my window today. It's a beautiful autumn morning, blue sky, a few clouds in the sky, a little bit of wind in the trees, but the leaves are turning. It's absolutely gorgeous here this morning. Beautiful, beautiful creation. So welcome. Glad that you could join me for this service. I will wait until a few more people arrive and then we will start. We will have a message out of the Word. We will receive an offering and we'll take communion together. We are still broadcasting live because we still don't have access to the building yet so that we can meet face to face. But I'm sure, hopefully, in the not too distant future, we'll be able to meet in the flesh once again. But until then, we're going to come together, we're going to assemble, we're going to gather around the Word, and we're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to encourage one another, get into the Word, take communion together. So we're going to do church. Just happens that we're not in the same building while we're doing it, but we can still do church. So welcome. So good to have you with us here at Murray Grace Fellowship, joining us up here in the north of Scotland in this beautiful part of the world. So welcome. I want to start off by reading a psalm. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." What a wonderful, encouraging piece of scripture. That the Lord is good. He is so good. He has provided us with all spiritual blessings. He has provided us with all we need for life and godliness. He's a good, good Father. That mercy that he has towards us will never end. So hallelujah. Such an encouraging scripture to start. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that we're here this morning. I thank you that we are gathering together. I thank you that we are assembling together in order to build each other up, in order to encourage, to edify, to exhort, to provoke unto good works, the Word says. So thank you. Thank you for this technology that we have to gather in this way in these difficult times. So I thank you and praise you for all my brothers and sisters that are watching live and that will be listening and watching through the week. I speak out that everyone will be blessed by this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. So, we're going to have our normal Sunday service this morning. I will preach the Word, we'll receive an offering, and we'll take communion together. So, it's just a shame that we kind of worship in the sense of singing songs, but we can worship by looking at the Word, by giving an offering, and by taking communion. So, hallelujah. Let's look at the Word. Father, I thank you for your scripture. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for your Word. I thank you that it has been literally breathed of you. Yes, written by men, but inspired by you, Father. Thank you that these are your words to us. Thank you that anytime we wish, we can hear from you directly through your scripture. We thank you that understanding your word is the agent for permanent and lasting change in our lives. Thank you that every time we study your word, that we sow seeds in your heart. Thank you that through understanding, we can grow and we can change. So I speak out understanding for everyone right now as they listen. Listen now and listen in the future. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen away. Understanding so that these seeds can grow. Understanding so that these seeds can produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me for a second. better. Hallelujah. So we are still looking through the account of Joshua. See what we can learn from him. See what typology there is about Jesus, about the church, about us. Fascinating account of a man of faith, a man of trust, a man who had faith in his God, a man who had trust in his God. An account of what can be achieved if you live in that faith and in that trust. And he's a great example for us living today. You see, Joshua lived in hard and difficult times. We are living in hard and difficult times. Joshua had many promises from God. We too, we have many promises from God. And here's the really good bit. Joshua lived in the goodness that God had promised, that God had already provided. And my friends, we can do that today. We can live in the goodness that God has already provided. And there are things we can learn from Joshua and how to move into that goodness, how to live in that goodness in a pictorial sense, how we can move into our promised land. We can learn how to do that by looking at the life of Joshua. So that's what I'm hoping to do in the last 2 weeks and this week, and I don't know how far into the future. What can we learn from Joshua that will help us to move into our promised land, to move into salvation, to move into sozo, to healing and wholeness and joy and peace and abundance and prosperity and acceptance? Man, there's so many good things in our promised land. Amen. So today, I'm going to basically give you the same message that I gave you last week. And repetition's a good thing in teaching. It's not that I've not prepared a message for this week, but it's kind of building on what I said last week, the same kind of themes, and I'm hoping to enlarge on what I spoke about last week. Now, when I'm working in business and I'm teaching students, I always say to them, if you hear me saying something 3 or 4 times, it's really important and it's going to be in the assessment. And it's a bit similar for you. Not that you're going to get a test, not that you're going to get an assessment. But repetition by a teacher, by a preacher, means that something is important. I mean, we saw that last week, didn't we? When we saw Joshua being told by the Lord, what was it, 4 times? To be strong and courageous. So repetition is very, very important. It's not boring to repeat the same message. And I've been taking my readings from the start of Joshua for the last 2 weeks, but a bit of a change today. I want to go back to the start of the story, the start of the account about Joshua, and see what we can learn from this part of Scripture. It's a passage, you know, that I've preached on before, on a number of times, but I feel over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've got a deeper revelation of what's going on here. And I thought it would be interesting to go over that part of Scripture again. So turn with me to Numbers 13. Near the start of the word. Numbers 13. And verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." So here's Moses, under command from the Lord, sending out 12 spies, 12 leaders of the people, one from each tribe, to go into Canaan and spy out the land. And one of those 12 spies, of course, was Joshua, son of Nun. So Joshua is one of the 12 that goes off, excuse me, into the promised land to spy it out for Moses. Now let's go to 17. "And Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward, excuse me, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be you of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Moses sends him out to spy the land. And it's really interesting what he says here, what he asks him to do. He's saying, go and see the land. Go and see what the people are like. Go and see if that land is good. Go and see the fruits of the land. He sent them on a scouting mission. Tell me what you see. He didn't ask them to tell him what he thought, what they thought, or their opinions of how easy or how hard it would be to get it, or how difficult it would be to storm the towns. No, he just sent them out to look and come back and report what they saw. And then let's go to Numbers 13 to verse 25. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. So the spies have gone out, done their searching, done their seeing, and they're coming back. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there, and Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Oh dear. The spying mission really backfired on Moses. The spies came back, 10 with an evil report and 2 with a good report. Now that's not good odds when you're trying to weigh up the evidence and make a decision. 10 against, 2 for. Not good. Not only that, but the 10 spies with the evil report brought back their opinions, their doubts, their fears, all based on what they had seen. Caleb and Joshua were different though. They had seen exactly the same things, but their report was based on something different. And this is a big take for me from last week's message. They based their report and what they planned to do in the future, they based that on what the Lord had said. Even as they saw all those things in the physical. I mean, they had that in their mind before they even saw everything in the physical. The other spies based their report just on what they saw, purely on the physical. Nothing to do with what the Lord had said before. And that is very, very important. See, they looked on the same things, but saw something different. And we're all like this in varying situations in our life. I mean, if you listen to the news, if you watch television, if you read the paper, whatever, we all see politicians doing and saying things. We see and we hear the same thing. But some of us support them passionately and see them doing incredibly well, while others look and despise what they are doing, all depending upon your political viewpoint. I stand in the rain and the cold, when I'm allowed, I stand in the rain and the cold and watch Forest Mechanics with passion and with interest. And some of you will look at that same thing and see 22 daft blokes running after a football, trying to kick it into a net. We're looking at the same thing, but we're seeing something completely different. Think about lockdown. We've all been through it. Maybe some aspects of it coming back. We've all been through lockdown. A time of business ceasing. A time of income drying up. A time of being stuck at home and not being able to travel. But I was thinking about this, as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about this the other day as I was walking along the beach in Findon. And I thought, you know, I could actually look at that period of lockdown in another way. It was a time of daily walks with Nancy, chatting about the word, walking miles someday, just having real quality time. We went out on our bikes together to the deserted beach just down the road. Absolutely beautiful, quality time. I cooked takeaway food that we were eating in the house. We called it fakeaways. And I remember sitting out on the decking in a gorgeous evening, eating fish and chips out of newspaper with my girls. Quality time. Lisa happened to be at home. Her shop had closed, and Lisa happened to be at home when lockdown started. And she was here for 4 or 5 months. And that was time that I saw her that I wouldn't have seen her otherwise. We had what was called Blackbird Gate. It was the funniest thing ever. Now, it's only in my family, if you were here during lockdown, that you'd get how hilarious that was. But we had some great fun. We had some great times in lockdown. Same circumstances, same things, but looking at it on a different perspective, a different way of looking at things. Yes, you could have seen it as a time of waste and negativity, but you could also see it as a time of opportunity and positivity, all depending upon the mindset that you look at it with. I was thinking about tall cliffs, high mountains. For most of us, they are obstacles. They are things that just get in the way. For others, with a different viewpoint, a different mindset, a different perspective, there's something to climb. You see where I'm coming from? We can all look at the same thing, but we can view or think about it in different ways. We can be negative or positive, optimistic, pessimistic. It can be good, it can be bad. Now, this is just on purely physical and worldly things, on a physical level, on a worldly level, those examples that I've just given you. But this reaches a whole new ball game when we start to differentiate on the physical or carnal and the spiritual level. The spies looked on the same things but saw different things, perceived different things based upon their mindset or their way of thinking, depending upon whether they were carnal or spiritually minded. Go to Romans 8:6. We spoke about this last week. Romans 8:6. Wow. I mean, you need to look at the context, but this is a verse that can come, be taken right out of context and just used on its own. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Either or, black or white, no grey areas here. Carnally minded leads to death, spiritually minded leads to life and peace. An important, important verse, and if we grasp this, it can really change the direction of our lives. One way of thinking leads to death. Not just physical death, but a lack of blessings, a lack of living in blessings. You know, a lack of healing, a lack of prosperity, a lack of acceptance. And the other way of thinking leads to life and to peace. Blessings, abundance, joy, health. Wow. Awesome. Now, I'm assuming that you all want to be blessed. I'm assuming you all want to live a blessed life and you want those around you to live a blessed life. I'm assuming no one out there wants to live in lack or wants their family and friends to live in lack. So we really need to listen up to what's being said here. One way leads to life, one way leads to death. One way leads to blessings, one way leads to lack. If we want to be blessed, we want to live in blessings, here's a way that helps us to get there. The way we think, the way we are minded, carnally or spiritually, of the world or of the word. Hallelujah. Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies saw the same things in the physical, saw the same things with their eyes. They saw the same physical facts. But what were they taking as the truth? That's the question. 10 of the spies thought carnally, and the truth for them was just what they saw in the physical. The truth for them was the facts that they were seeing in the world with their eyes in the physical. And that led to death. And in their case, death in the wilderness. They never made it into the promised land. But what about Caleb and Joshua? Well, they were spiritually minded. They thought in a spiritual dimension. And the truth for these two guys was what God had said. What they knew in their hearts about God. That he had provided the land, that he had given them all these blessings, that the promised land was there for them, provided for them. All they had to do was, put the soles of their feet upon it. They just had to go and possess it. And that's what Caleb said. Come on, guys, let's go and possess it. I know we can do it. Why? Because he was spiritually minded. He knew what God had said. And he wasn't letting what he saw in the physical world override what God had said. Let's see, let's go back to Numbers 14. Oh, sorry, I'm getting really excited about this. Good message. Numbers 14, verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. Looking at the positive. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Wonderful. Powerful truths in this passage. They had spied out the land, yes. They had seen the giants, yes. They had seen the walls, they had seen the problems. They admitted that. They even spoke it out. Yep, we saw the people. Yep, they were big. Yep, we saw the walls, defences, quite high, quite thick. Yep, we saw that. But they said, but the land is good and the Lord is with us and God has given it to us already. So let's not rebel against God. Let's not go against God. Let's just go and get it. Powerful. Go back to Romans 8, 6 again. Going to extend it a little bit this time. Going to look at verse 7 as well. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Carnal minded, thinking purely in the physical, purely what you see in worldly terms, is enmity against God. That means hostility, hatred, opposition. Thinking purely in the carnal is being opposed to God. Thinking purely in the carnal, according to the Strong's, to the Greek, the definition, is a hatred of the things of God. Man, this is powerful. The 10 spies were rebelling against God by focusing just on the bad physical stuff. Now, I used to wonder, why is this called an evil report when they're just saying what they saw? Yeah, that's not evil. That is not evil. Saying we saw giants is not evil. We saw the walls. That's not evil. What was evil was to extrapolate from the facts and turn that into your truth. extrapolate from the facts and say, we are never going to beat us. We're like grasshoppers. And they actually think the same. Now, if you read on and see when Joshua sent out the two spies, that's completely opposite to what the people in that land thought. The people in the land were actually scared of them. They didn't think they were grasshoppers. The evil report was the spies making up nonsense from what they saw in the physical, making up things against what God was saying from what they saw in the physical. That is the evil report. Why was it evil? Because God had said, the land is yours and you can have it. So saying, we're going to get defeated, we're going to get killed, we're going to get squashed like grasshoppers, is enmity against God. It's going against what God has said. That's an evil report. The evil report was basing your judgments and what you wanted to do in the future on the facts rather than on the carnal facts rather than on the spiritual truths. Joshua had eyeballed the problems, but he did not focus on them. He didn't take that as the final truth. The truth for him was what God had said. The promised land is yours. God has given it to us. He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, so we can have it. Come on, let's take it, irrespective of what's there. I mean, you can look at this further on in the story, and Caleb just amazes me. Caleb wanted to go against the highest mountain and the biggest guys because he knew he couldn't lose. He knew he'd won. That was the truth for him. God was with him, and I ain't going to lose. And that was when he was an old guy. Awesome. Man, what an attitude. The truth is what God had said. That's been spiritually minded. Opposite to the other 10 spies. And what an example that is for us. That's a great example for us to follow. Yes, it's like saying, us saying, yeah, I can see the problems in the physical. I acknowledge them. I do not ignore them, but I do not major on them. I will major on what God has said and what God has done. Now, listen to me carefully here. I am not telling you to ignore the problems in your life. I am not telling you to put your head in the sand, ignore the issues, ignore the problems, and just think, well, they'll just go away or someone else will deal with them. I'll just forget about them. No, but what I am telling you to do is not to give them the credit or the preeminence over what God has already said. Yes, they are the current physical reality facts. But are they the truth? Well, that depends upon us. Joshua knew the truth and did not let the facts get in the way of that. Joshua knew what God had said and had promised, and he believed that even when it looked like in the physical, well, this is going to be difficult to happen, or it might not happen, or it's not going to happen. No, for him, this is what God had said, and that's it. End of. And that's what I'm going to work with. Awesome. Joshua knew what the Lord had said, and he believed it even when the carnal world was telling him someone else. What are you seeing in the physical world today that are painful facts for you, that are holding you back? Is it lack? Is it poverty in some area? Is it sickness? Is it depression? Is it rejection? What is coming against you in the physical realm, in the carnal realm? That in that realm is very, very real right now. Well, just think about whatever it is and then go to the Word and find out what the Word says. What does the Word say about this situation? Another way of saying it, what has God already spoken? What has God already said? Then you need to think on this and meditate on it and work on it. Now, you know me, I love a good mind map. And I did one as I was preparing this message, just to show you an example of what I think we can do. Now, if, that's a big if, because I know a lot of you don't, if you've been watching any news or reading any newspapers or watching news on the internet or whatever, you'll see in the news lately that in the world, in the carnal, in the physical, we're being told there's a deep economic crisis. Huge problems. And I thought, well, what does that mean for me? What does it mean to look on a carnal? What does it mean to look on the physical? So I'm hoping you can kind of see this. I've made a little mind map with economic climate in the middle there, and the carnal on this side, and the spiritual on this side. And the carnal, I've got, yeah, it's difficult. There are shortages, there's restrictions, there is less, there is lack, there is want out there just now. But what's the spiritual dimension on this? What has the Lord said? Well, if you look at Job 10:10, the Lord says you'll be blessed by the work of your hands and you will increase. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says the Lord has already got a plan and a purpose for you, and you just need to walk into that. John 10:10 says you'll live in an abundant life. That's what Jesus came to give you. 3 John 2 says above all things, the Lord wants you to prosper and be in health. 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9 says that Jesus was made poor so that you might be rich. So God is my provider. God loves me. God has spoken to me on this already. And God has given me promises. So we can look at this current economic climate in one of two ways. We can look at it carnally, and that's not going to do us much good. Or we can look at it spiritually. Going to lead to death. Going to lead to life and peace. What's the world throwing at you? And what does the word say about it? And what are you going to believe? What are you going to put your trust in? What are you going to put your faith in? Now, I know it's not easy, but it can be done. And I know it's not easy, but it can be done. In the physical, there are facts that are saying, yes, times are rough. But what has God already said? What has God already promised you? In terms of you being a new covenant, born again, spirit-filled believer, has he provided for you or has he not? Does he want you to live in prosperity and in health or does he not? Does he want you to live an abundant life or does he not? Now, you can do that same thing with any area of our life. Sickness, pain, acceptance, rejection, depression, joy, lack of it. You can look at any area you wish. What is the world throwing at me? What has God already said? What's in the carnal? What's in the spiritual? What are we going to trust? In this context that I just spoke about there, the economic climate, there are facts and there are truths. What are you seeing in your life right now? What is your mindset? What are you focusing on? What are you doing with the facts and what are you doing with the truth? What is driving how you think, what then you believe and how you act? You choose. I challenge you today. All these things coming at you and you're balancing them, what, the carnal with the spiritual. Are you being a Joshua? Are you being a Caleb? Or are you being one of the other 10 spies? Are you being carnally minded or spiritually minded when it comes to the problems that are rearing up in front of you? As you attempt to enter your promised land that God has already provided for you, what are you focusing on? Are you looking at the giants, at the walls, at the problems? Or are you looking at the milk and the honey and the giant grapes that they had to carry on poles that's just waiting there for you? Are you focusing on what you see or what God has said? God has promised you and provided for you all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 verse 3. God has promised and provided for you all you need for life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. God wants you, above all things, to live in health and prosperity, that's 3 John verse 2. Jesus came to provide you with life and life in abundance. That's what he wants for you. That's John 10 verse 10. Those are the spiritual truths. Yes, my friends, I know we're all living in the same physical world. We can see the things that are going on out there. Yes, I know, looking at the facts, it is hard, it is tough. And I'm not sitting here saying it's easy. I told you about my challenges last week when this lockdown started and how it took me a while to get my mind back on track. I know, it's not easy. I'm not sitting here saying it's easy and I'm perfect, but I'm sitting here saying it can be done. And I'm telling you the scriptures that allow us to do that. I'm telling you how important it is to be thinking spiritually rather than thinking carnally. Even though these things are bombarding us in the carnal all the time, we have the spiritual truths to batter them back with. Amen. It is time to possess what is ours. It's time to make the right choice. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that was another message that blessed me. And I hope, I really hope that it blessed you.